parables of Jesus Christ. This is second time from Matthew 18. Verses 21 through 25. From our Pew Bibles, page number is 1039 from the New Testament. Let's pray together before we're reading the Holy Scripture. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this wonderful text today again. Your teaching, your blessing for your people. Lord, as we are ready to open and read verse by verse and try to understand all your teachings from your parable, Lord, would you please bless our hearts? We want to remove all the things that we are making your word is far away from us. So like worrying about things of the world, worrying about our lives, worrying about something behind us. Lord, just remove all these distractions so that we can only focus on the word and we will see and listen to your teachings. Also, Lord, bless me as I'm going to unfold this wonderful story. And please speak to me first and bless my heart first so that I can live up to your teaching first and then boldly delivering your word to your people so that we can enjoy, we can celebrate your teachings together, Lord. Bless my lips and strengthen my spirit as I'm going to deliver your word. We pray all these things, your Son, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew 18:21-25. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold, with his wife and children all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees and imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And an out of pity for him, the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when that same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him and began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed. And they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my Heavenly Father will do to everything one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. This is the Word of God. Amen. Today's parable started by Peter's question. Now, Peter had to learn that it is very, very important to forgive. Jesus taught him, and he talked about forgiving others in his teachings, such as the Lord's Prayer and a Sermon on Mount, and even Matthew chapter 18 throughout his teachings. So, one of best students, Peter knew that he had to forgive others who wronged him and hurt him. The question is, what if the person who hurt him will hurt him again and again. The same people, same person. So Peter's question was, how many times do I have to forgive him? I mean, how many times do I have to forgive my enemies or people who wronged me, or people who hurt me, people who betrayed me? How long must I keep on forgiving? Now, something Peter knew was about Rabbi's teaching at the time. Rabbi taught the people that they needed to forgive three times, only three times. So Peter knew their view on forgiveness. So Peter brought a question to Jesus Christ with his new theory. He argued that seven times of forgiveness is sufficient. So he said, verse 21, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? What about seven times as many as seven times? Good job, Peter. Peter must have felt proud of himself, right? Because he knew something about forgiveness from teaching of Jesus Christ. Because he more than doubled under the teaching of the rabbis. But unfortunately, Jesus did not agree with his suggestion or his philosophy of forgiveness. And he said, verse 22, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Really shocking, 77 times, which will be 490 times. So is it really 490 times? Now, our text does not tell us about what Peter replied, but Peter must have the question in his mind, really? 490 times? Would it be possible? Would it be possible to forgive someone who hurt you again and again, again and again, again and again? 490 times. Now, one thing that we have to remember is from his parable is Jesus did not talk about the number of forgiveness. We have to realize that. Rather, he talks about the essence of forgiveness, which is forgiveness is to be unlimited. So Peter tried to categorize that forgiveness will be seven times will be sufficient, but Jesus said that forgiveness is to be unlimited. That's our forgiveness. Now, that's so, I think, too much. Would it be possible that we can forgive people again and again? Then Jesus told them a story. There was a king who decided to have a day of settling accounts. That's a really important day for a king. So as a king, he must have had many servants throughout the country who handled his money. So that's the kind of background of the story. And one day the king called all of his officials to bring basically his money back. So when the king was reckoning, settling his money, he had found that one of his servants owed him 10,000 talents. Let's talk about this amount of money. How much were 10,000 talents? Now, according to historian Josephus, 600 talents were collected from all of Judea and Edomah and Samaria as a tax in 4 BC around Jesus' time. So 600 talents were collected from three different cities. So the debt of the man that we are looking at this text would be like $1 billion in our time. Now we will be looking at we'll talk about the value of 1,000 talent later, but it's a lot of money. The two things must be considered from what Jesus said about this situation. Now, 10,000 talents means now beyond the ability of the servant to pay. Basically, he was not able to pay. And the second thing that we have to think about is the servant was entrusted to handle that enormous amount of king's money. He didn't steal first time, but king entrusted to him. So that's something that we have to remember throughout the story. And then So now here the thing is, did the servant bring the money back to the king? We know the story. No, he couldn't pay because he didn't have money. Now, Jesus didn't tell us why this man didn't have money. But what we know from the story is that the king must have entrusted him, gave him lots of authorities and power, allowed him to have a lot of things. But the thing is, these unfaithful servants betrayed the king's trust. King trusted him, but he betrayed king's trust. Surely the king was upset with this unfaithful servant. Why not? And that the king had the right to do everything to have his money back. That's his money. And at that time, imprisonment for debtor was kind of common practice for Greco-Roman culture. So he could have put him into the prison, but he did a different thing today. However, what the servant owed the king was impossible to pay, so the king ordered to sell him the servants and with his wife and children and all he had to make a little bit of payment. Now let's think about the servant side of the story today. King granted him to handle $1 billion of money. I cannot imagine how much it will be, $1 billion, but it's a lot of money. Handle that money. But now he didn't have king's money anymore. And 10,000 talents were missing. Now he knew that this is truth. He knew that he was not able to pay. I can pay this amount of money. So another thing is that he knew that he will get punished. So no money, and now be punished. He knew two things. But listen to what he said to the king in verse 25. So the servant fell on his knees and imploring him, which means pleading, and then have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. If you know the situation, you'll laugh at him. What? How can you pay him? That's verse 26. And there was no future for him and no hope for him and no promise and then no life for this servant because he betrayed his king. He lost all king's money and he lost all his assets. There's nothing left. There was nothing he could do to bring the money back to king. But now what he did was he asked for king's mercy. That's very interesting. The ESV Bible says imploring. Now, the word imploring in the original text is to worship, the same language, to worship. Now, we see how much the servants wanted the king's mercy. He worshiped the king. He showed his honor to king. Desperate. He's looking for king's mercy. And then the verb form of imploring is also very interesting. It's in Greek terminology, imperfect tense is used for this particular word. That means in Greek grammar, the imperfect tense means indicates that the servant kept asking and kept worshiping the king, kept asking king's mercy. Not just only one time saying, have patience with me and I'll pay you back. Not just only one time, but kept saying, I'll pay you back. Please show your mercy. Patient with me, patient with me, patient with me. Let's do the math again. One talent equals 6,000 denarii. Now, one denarii is a worker's daily rate at the time. So, if the servant wanted to repay 10,000 talents, do the math, he needed to work for 6 million days. 6 million days, literally almost 193,000 years. I hope I did right. 6 million days? So, basically, everyone knew that the servant was lying. He was not telling the truth. Even the servant knew that he was not telling the truth. He knew that he was not able to repay the debt. We don't know what he was thinking, but maybe if he wanted some extra time and for running away from the king, or maybe he wanted to get help from his friends and family members. That was a kind of common practice at the time. When he didn't have money, he could ask his friends and family members, bring money to him, he can pay back to king. That's kind of tradition at the time. But the thing is, did the king believe him? Verse 27 tells us how the king responded to this unfaithful servant. And then it begins with like this, and out of pity for him. That is very strange if we understand the situation. Now, rough translation for this sentence will be like this. The Lord of the servant was moved with compassion. Now, our ESV says, and out of pity. But basically, it was moved, passive, was moved with compassion. The king surely knew that the servant was not able to pay back, and he was not telling the truth. But what Jesus said is that the king, and his heart was moved with compassion. Because why? The servant kept asking for his mercy. Although he was not able to pay, but he asked, your mercy and your mercy. The king had pity on this servant. And then he felt sympathy for this unfaithful servant. So he decided to release him, this evil servant, that is our text. But that's not the end of the story. It says the master of that servant released him and forgave him the debt. The debt means a loan in the Greek terminology, the meaning. Now, interesting thing is that the servant asked for more time. What I need is time. Okay, if I have some extra time, I'll pay you back. But the king granted him more than he asked. The king canceled all his debt. Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine if we could ask our credit companies, I need more time. I lost my job. I can't work right now. But I need to pay my bills. If you give me three months, and I'll pay you back. Then credit companies said, oh, yeah, I will cancel your payment. That could be awesome, right? That's happening to him. It's not a small amount of money. It's $1 billion. The king canceled all his debt at the sin. And he didn't set any condition. If you do like this, if you do like this, if you do like this, I cancel. No, not that way. Just canceled all the debt. Truly, he showed his mercy as the servant asked. Now, the unfaithful servant from the story, the unfaithful one, became a forgiven one. Let's rephrase again. The unfaithful servant became a forgiven servant with king's compassion. Now his status has been changed. Now we see the same things, like maybe same thing happened to us. It will be happening to us. We are like this unfaithful servant in the story before God. God has entrusted so many things to us. Even our gifts, our blessings, and so many things. Yet, we, including all his people always betrayed him. Look at the story from the Old Testament. People always betrayed God's trust. That's kind of the story of the Old Testament that we read. Now, there are no difference between us and the unfaithful servant, if we look at that way. So we deserve God's punishment and his anger. And Paul says many, many times, even in the book of Romans, In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death. We deserve all the punishment." And we deserve nothing. Only punishment for our sins and our unfaithfulness to God. That's what we deserve right now. However, God is always moved by compassion. That's what we know about God. Psalm 145 verse 8. Our God is gracious and merciful, and God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He's always moved by His compassion. Yes, it is true that it's a shame for us to talk about our sins, our unknown sins, our hidden sins. No one knows about it. So we cannot stand before God's glory, before God's presence. Thinking about our sins, we feel like a horrible and a nasty and disgusting about our sins. Our sins are too great and too big to erase. We are not able to erase. But the Bible says, Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, Jesus bore our shame. That's our shame. We have so many sins around us, in us. But Jesus bore our shame on the cross. Through His death and His resurrection, God has released us from our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 5, and Romans chapter 7 and verse 6 tells about that thing. So our sins that we feel horrible, that we feel we cannot stand before God, and we are not able to share with anybody, those sins are completely forgiven without any condition because of God's compassion. Isn't that beautiful? So now we are able to stand on God's grace and stand before His presence because of God's compassion. Now, the king's forgiveness in the story reminds us of what John said. 1 John verse 1 and 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It strengthens our hearts and our faith that we don't have to hide our sins. We just confess. We just talk to God and say, I'm sorry, and asking His mercy as the servant did. We ask God's forgiveness. We ask His mercy. And truly, we are the ones who have received His amazing grace. Like the servant. Now, then let's talk about the more practical side. What would you do if your credit card companies like forgive your entire debt? Actually, I thought about that. I didn't know what to do. Well, what would you do if your credit card companies forgive all your debt? We don't know. Maybe we don't know what to do, but we must. No, we will feel so happy about that happening to us. And we'll be ready to celebrate this freedom from death that we had. Now, the servant must have felt the same thing, great joy filling his heart. And wow, really? You just forgave my debt, which is over $1 billion? So he had to run to his home to share the good news and to celebrate his freedom from punishment. Literally, he just earned $1 billion. Now, when this evil servant went out, he met a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii. Now, compared to his debt to the king, 100 denarii seemed nothing. Now, look at this. He must have forgiven his fellow servant, and then he would be more like the king who showed him mercy and grace. That would be really, really wonderful. And probably they will be more like a normal people would do, showing and sharing mercy together. But the thing is that did this evil servant forgive his fellow servant? No, we know the story. As soon as he saw his fellow servant, he seized him and with his hands like this, and literally choked his neck. And as with his hands saying, pay what you owe, pay to me. That's verse 28. Now 100 denarii were nothing compared to 10,000 talents. It will be roughly 3 months of salary at the time. So the fellow servant would be able to repay the debt. So that's why he said in verse 29, the same thing like this evil servant, his fellow servant said, verse 29, have patience with me and I will pay you. Now, however, this greedy and evil servant could not let his chance to go. This is great time to get the money. So he choked his fellow servant. He yelled at him, pay what you owe. That's just scary. If you were there, you feel really scary. And notice what the fellow servants at the time did in verse 29. Verse 29, so his fellow servant fell down and pleaded, which means asking, have patience with me and I will pay you. The first thing we notice is he did the same thing. He fell down before the evil servant and he said what the evil servant said to the king. Almost same, just one word is different, but almost same. Have patience with me and I will pay you. There's no all, entire, I mean, all. The evil servant said that I will pay you all, but this servant said I will pay you. Just one word different, but everything is the same. Patient, have patience with me, I will pay you. Now, what the fellow servant said was, thinking about this way, was very realistic. What he needed was time, really time. The evil servant, he didn't need time. He was not able to pay. But this fellow servant, what he needed was only time. Only time to repay. Probably the evil servant could have remembered what he said to the king. Oh yeah, I said to my lord the same thing. Probably he could have remembered what the lord, his king, had showed to him. What he had received from the king. He could have done the same thing, just forgiving his fellow servant and inviting him to celebrate the joy of free from their debt. However, this evil servant did not accept his fellow servant's request. Surely he didn't have any mercy for his friend, no mercy at all. What he wanted was money. And this greedy servant put the fellow servant in prison until he paid all the things. Now the same thing, why he put him in prison? Because at that time, when you put your servant, because your servant owe you a lot of money, if you put him in prison, their family members will come and pay and to release him. That's kind of a common thing at the time. That's why this evil servant put him in prison. Now here, the other servants watched everything that had happened in verse 31. And our text says, they were greatly distressed. Very interesting words here. They had witnessed how their friend was poorly and unjustly treated. And then they became like a greatly distressed, that means extremely sorrowful and deeply grieved to watch things are happening. So they went to the king, to report the whole story. And the king summoned this evil servant and said, verse 32 and 33, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that because you pleaded with me. And should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant as I had mercy on you? Then Jesus explained the meaning of his parable in verse 35. So also my heavenly Father will do every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Wow. What Jesus said reminds us of what Jesus taught about prayer. Matthew 6, verse 14 and 15. I'm going to read it to you. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will you, your Father, forgive your trespasses. So this is the principle that Jesus wanted to teach. Now, we should not be confused by what Jesus said here. Jesus does not say that we will be saved or we will be forgiven based on our good deeds because, Lord, I forgave his sins. So would you forgive me? Not that way. Rather, he says here in text is we need to remember what we have received from God, from the story. God completely forgave our sins. Therefore, we need to do the same thing. We have received God's grace. Therefore, we need to bring God's grace to others. Now, Peter brought a question to Jesus Christ because he knew that he could not forgive people's sin again and again. As he said, seven times will be enough to extend forgiveness to others. Probably that's possible. Forgiveness. It's really hard to do, isn't it? How can we forgive when we are deeply wounded by people? Like their words, senseless words, and their actions, and even more. How can we forgive? Now, how can we forgive when we are abused by people, even sometimes parents and friends, and from your colleagues and sometimes unknown people? How can we forgive them? How can we forgive people who have hurt us? How can we forgive people who betrayed our trust? So those things Peter brought, all the things about relating to forgiveness Paul brought to Jesus Christ. Now we cannot forgive people. We cannot. Because naturally we want to make even. Well, don't think that Pastor James is better than I am. No, I'm the same like you. Sometimes I'm trying to make even. We cannot forgive people because we hold a grudge. We are wounded. Our hearts are wounded. And we have a bitterness and resentment and anger. Those things are filling our hearts deep inside and saying something to us. Make it even. Go ahead. We cannot forgive people because we hold these things, not the cross. Yes, we need to bring justice. Justice into our lives and justice to the world. That's why people try to do something, right? But revenge or the philosophy of making even, I want to make everything even, like those kind of mentality, will never bring justice to us. Now, Paul said, Romans 12:19, based on the teaching of the Old Testament, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord, Romans 12:19. We should not miss what Jesus wanted to teach from his parable about forgiveness. Forgiveness is not something that we could do with our own power or will. That's what Peter thought. Okay, this is my boundary. I'm going to make it 7 times. Then that's it. I'm not going to forgive you. That's his power and his will. It's our nature to make even when we get hurt. And I got hurt from you, so I will hurt you. That's what we see and hear from the media and newspaper and all around us. And the people get angry for something or to somebody else. And they mercilessly kill innocent people to express their anger, to make things even. So complete forgiveness is literally impossible if we only see our things, our situation, our power, only see ourselves. We are wounded, so I'm going to bring my wound to them. We are betrayed, so I'm going to bring more betrayal to you. We are abused. We are abandoned. So we cannot forgive others. But here, forgiveness is possible based on Jesus' teaching when we realize that what God has done for us, that is the key point. None of us deny that we are horrible sinners before God. If we deny that, we are liars. The Bible clearly says that we are sinners. We are not just sinners, we are horrible sinners before God. Talking about our sins, unknown sins and hidden sins, we don't deserve God's grace and His love at all. No, it doesn't match. We are dirty. God is holy. Doesn't match. But God has shown His love, His amazing grace, while we were still sinners. That's the mystery of forgiveness. We're not qualified, but God qualifies us with His grace. This is what God had done for us. We are the recipients of His extraordinary grace. His grace is not just simple, just regular grace, but extraordinary grace that we have. So it's not about us, but this extraordinary grace in us helps you and me to forgive others. So we have to see that is in us. So forgiveness is not about ourselves, but it's all about God's grace in us. We have to see and we have to feel. We have to realize that His grace is enough. Forgiveness is a way of trusting God and His judgment. Once again, it's not about us, but God is the judge of all. We know that. He will surely bring His justice to the world. We should not let grudge and hatred and resentment, anger and bitterness rule our hearts. Those things will bring us to the world of darkness. Rather, we must live according to God's grace. Now, forgiveness is a way to heal our broken hearts. Our broken hearts will be comforted only through God's grace, grace alone, not through us or through something. And God's grace is medicine to our broken souls. Same thing, the forgiveness is only medicine to keep ourselves close to God. If we have a grudge and bitterness and everything in our hearts, we can come to God and say, Lord, I'm here. We're trying to separate ourselves from God if we have all these things, grudge and hatred, resentment. But by removing all these things with the help of the Holy Spirit, forgiveness is only medicine to keep ourselves close to God, remaining in His grace and continually tasting in His amazing grace every day, although we are still persecuted, although we are still experiencing horrible things by hands of others. Forgiveness is only one thing that maintains our intimate relationship with God. So our broken hearts, surely will be healed when we extend forgiveness to others. Now, don't get me wrong. I read a couple of books about forgiveness. It doesn't mean that we have to live with our enemies again. No, we don't have to. It doesn't mean that we have to approve their mistakes or their horrible sins against us. No, we don't have to. Forgiveness is something happening in us with the power of God's grace. Brothers and sisters, let the power of God's grace lead your life, so that you and I, we may forgive our enemies, so that we can live according to His grace. Now, I read one story while I was studying. His name is Ken Sandy. I don't know how to say his name, but he says one interesting words. He says, Christians are the most forgiven people in the world. Right? We are the most forgiven people in the world. Therefore, we should be the most forgiving people in the world. Now, in our text, verse 33, Jesus brings an interesting question to us. In our text, he says, and should not you have had mercy on your fellow servant? Now, if you look at the original text, it has different tone and feeling. And what Jesus said is, isn't it necessary? There is a word, particular word, necessary. I love that word because Jesus went to the Samaria to meet a lady. My mouth is really dry. But everyone thought that, oh, why you go to Samaria? Because it's kind of, you know, nasty and we don't go that land. But in the particular text, it says, it is necessary. That's why he went to Samaria to see a lady, a known lady. The same word Jesus is using. Isn't it questioning to his disciples? Isn't it necessary? Must. Isn't it necessary to have mercy on your servant? Why? Because I had mercy on you. I know that it's really hard to forgive people who wronged you. Don't focus on them. Don't focus on your wounds. But focus on God's grace. His grace will lead you. His grace will make you to forgive others. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this wonderful parable that we already know. We read it 100 times. But somehow this particular parable refreshes our mind because we find ourselves in the story. Lord, we don't want to be the wicked servant, but we want to be a faithful servant to you. Would you please bless us and help us to see the grace in us, the grace from you, the amazing grace in us from our Lord Jesus Christ. His grace will heal us. His grace will lead us to forgive our enemies. And help us to pray for our enemies as well, as Jesus taught us. Lord, thank you so much for your teaching, and we pray your Son, in Jesus' name, amen.